Maybe you've never run a marathon yourself, but you probably heard of marathon runners hitting the wall. Their bodies have run out of onboard nutrients, and it's often willpower that gets them to the finish line. Now, double the distance or go even longer than that, and just imagine what that does to the body. And we'll spend the next few minutes talking about the specific effects on the human heart. We might be built for speed and endurance as a species, but maybe not both for everybody. Dr. Brian Morrison is with Southern Oregon Cardiology with offices in Grants Pass and Medford and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Dr. Morrison, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
You are yourself an athlete, we understand. Tell us what it is that you do.
Well, I've always considered myself to be athletically inclined, played basketball, and always found something to do. The last few years I've been riding a bike rather than running. Just my body just wouldn't let me run anymore, but yeah, I think athleticism and exercise is the single most important thing you can do for your health. And in fact, many studies have shown that on the average, compared to people who do not exercise, if you exercise on a regular basis to some degree, you will live 7 years longer.
That is good news. And I can relate to the running versus biking thing. After a while, the knees just say no. Is that right?
The knees, the back, the hips, you know, it's an orthopedic thing. Some people are built the right way, and they can just go and go and go, and that's great for them. But that wasn't me.
So when we talk about endurance athletes, I mean, what kinds of sports are we talking about, and what lengths? Is it more the length than the sport itself that determines?
Well, that's a great question, Jeff. For the research that I looked into for this talk I'm going to give tonight, endurance refers to people who train for a long time over a long period of time. So as a general rule of thumb, if you are running the equivalent of 30 miles a week or more, that puts you in that endurance category. Now, those same people may compete at very extreme levels. For example, you know, just marathon running, which, believe me, is an extreme, ultra marathons, long cycling events, triathlon type events. But if you were training at that level, that kind of puts you in that endurance athlete category. And of course, we're talking about not just in your 20s, but to carry that through your life and to look at athletes who are now 50 and over who have done that for their adult lives.
And you mentioned the session tonight. It's called The Endurance Athlete's Heart, What You Need to Know. It's tonight, Monday at 6:30 at the Smullen Center on the campus of Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center in Medford. Dr. Morrison delivering that. So when you talk about just doing the same thing over a long period of time, so somebody who runs, say, 5 miles a day and just doesn't think that's a whole lot, but does that 5 miles a day, week in, week out, year in, year out, does that count as an endurance athlete?
Well, it does, because researchers have taken a look at, are there risks of developing cardiac complications and cardiac disease, trying to identify is that kind of training responsible for some of those changes. We're beginning to see that there are some unique problems that can occur after decades of that level of activity. And There is probably a sweet spot in terms of how much activity gives you the maximal change in quality of your life and heart health without engaging in some problems that might occur later.
All right. So is the heart basically built for that kind of beating? Is that the basic issue?
The heart's a remarkable organ in our body, and in a very short period of time. For example, our ancestors who would routinely be chased by animals and things like that, and they'd have to, you know, their flight or flight, you could turn around and dramatically increase the output of your heart in literally in just seconds and for short bursts. That's what we're designed for. And, you know, human beings being what we are, you know, we like to test the limits of what we can do. And that's where we get into these endurance competitions. You know, really, that's just it's a mental game. But the physical requirements to be able to participate at that level and the training that's necessary, that's where we're taking a look at, you know, what are some untoward effects, you know, from that over a lifetime.
You know, the internet is certainly full of stuff out there. I mean, what's good for your heart, what's bad for your heart, and then even without the internet, still the old-fashioned mainstream media seem to deliver a new report every week about this is good for you. Oh, wait, no, it's bad for you.
Yeah, it's very, very confusing, and the thing is that not everybody is the same, not every activity is the same, and it's not appropriate to make broad sweeping generalizations other than to say some degree of activity, literally walking for 15 minutes 5 days a week. You know, if you do that, you'll live longer, you'll live better, you will enjoy an improvement in your heart health, and then you can do more and get more benefit, certainly. And people should do what they like and enjoy and are challenged by, but it's important to know that if you're one of those individuals that you've been, you know, just as an example, runners, if you've been running your entire adult life at a high level, to be aware of some effects that can occur, not in every person, but can occur, that are certainly very disappointing. For example, to be a 55-year-old man who's been running since his college days and develops an irregular heart rhythm, atrial fibrillation, you think, well, why should that be? I'm healthy, I'm lean, I eat well, I don't smoke, I take care of myself. Why do I have this heart problem? And in some situations, it's, you know, it's unfortunately directly related to the changes in the heart that occur with that level of activity.
Dr. Brian Morrison is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a cardiologist, his office at Southern Oregon Cardiology. He'll be delivering a class tonight in Medford at 6:30 at the Smullen Center in Medford called The Endurance Athlete's Heart. You can join us now and ask your questions, make your comments at 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. So in the example you just cited, the 55-year-old guy who's been running his entire adult life, I mean, are there changes that are coming about because of the exercise? Are there perhaps congenital issues with his heart that he might have forestalled by the exercise? I mean, it seems like there are a bunch of different scenarios that could occur here.
You're exactly right, Jeff. The points that I'm going to make tonight, just to focus on just the running part, there is no doubt there is probably a 4 to 5-fold increase in the risk of developing this specific abnormal heart rhythm, atrial fibrillation, in endurance athletes. It's been shown over and over and over again, and it's irrespective of your activity. Cross-country skiers who compete, cyclists who compete, runners who compete, And so that they have this problem, and there are absolute sound physiologic reasons why that might occur. There are pathologic changes that have been identified both invasively and non-invasively. So the data is all there to say it's true. It really is related, you know, to the endurance training.
So let's talk about the kinds of things you can feed your heart, though. I mean, is diet a really critical part of exercise as you go through a program through your adult years?
Well, there's no question about it, and I'm not a diet expert. I'm not a nutritionist. You know, my focus is on the heart and coronary artery disease. But in general, you know, a balanced diet, the more vegetarian you eat, I'm convinced that is a healthier way to be in terms of reducing your risk of the number one cause of death in the United States, which is having a heart attack. Okay, and to do that, combined with regular physical activity, you maximize your longevity and you maximize the quality of your heart health, and in general, you just feel better when you do that.
I haven't asked about exactly what atrial fibrillation is. It's obviously fibrillation in your atrium, but it probably requires a little more explanation for us non-medical types.
It's a disorder of the rhythm of the heart. It is characterized by two features. It tends to be fast, faster than normal, and it's irregular. And people will experience fluttering palpitations in their chest. They may feel breathlessness. They may feel chest pains. They may feel exercise limitation. Unfortunately, the rhythm, besides being bothersome like that, is associated with an increased risk of stroke, and that's why it becomes an important thing to identify and to treat appropriately.
How would you tell it was going on if you were out on a bike ride or a run or something?
Well, if you're exercising, most people are in tune with their body. They kind of know how their body feels, and you feel something different. Not everybody can feel their own pulse, but you check your pulse and say, hey, it's going, you know, 120 or 150 beats a minute like it normally does, but oh no, this time it's different. It feels irregular. And to confirmation of it, of course, requires recording the heart rhythm on a piece of paper, what we call an electrocardiogram, and that's the confirmation that's necessary to know exactly, you know, what we're dealing with.
But, I mean, you can take your own pulse when you're...
You can take your own pulse, mm-hmm. and the feature would be that it would be... at rest, it would be faster than normal, but most importantly, irregular. Bup, 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 something like that.
Okay, so really just like a drum solo.
Exactly.
And not the good kind.
Not the good kind.
You know, I've often wondered, the older I get, and when you're talking about the 55-year-old man, I could totally relate.
I'm 53, so I'm right there with you.
Okay, but the idea that I notice as I get older that it really would have been nice to have some information years ago. And so is it a good idea for people, no matter what age, before they start an exercise program, to get some baseline health information, what their normal sped up and resting heart rates are, things like that?
I think that's, absolutely. And with so much information, available, readily available on the Internet, that's certainly easier now for the post-college adult, who's entering life and exercising and so on, and than it would have been for you and I, certainly. But information is very, very important to exercise carefully. I think you do the basic things. One of the important points of my talk tonight, and just for everyone in general, is no matter how much you exercise and how well you eat, you need to know what is your cardiac risk factor profile. And there are five important things that everybody needs to know for their health, and whether you're exercising or not, but as you go through life. Number one, are you a smoker? If you are, you need to quit. Number two, what is your family history of cardiac disease at an early age? Especially in siblings. My brother just had bypass surgery. He lives in Florida, but, number three, presence of diabetes. Number four, do you have high blood pressure? And number five, probably the most treatable of all, what is your cholesterol level? When you hear about, a prime athlete having a heart attack, you think, how in the world could that be? That is shocking. It's unbelievable. But almost always, those same athletes had abnormalities of the basic things that we all need to know about. That is, a little high blood pressure, a little high cholesterol, and running alone is not enough to treat that. Those things need to be treated like everybody else.
All right. So people do need to know a little bit about what's going on with the basic mechanisms.
Exactly. And you can't run away from your cholesterol level. That's what I like to tell people.
That's a good point. You can't run away from it. Let's take a call. We have Ann in Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about endurance sports and the heart with Dr. Brian Morrison.
Thank you. My partner, Bill, we've been together for 18 years, and he has atrial fibrillation. He doesn't have diabetes. His cholesterol is low. He exercises daily, but not at an extreme level. He had this, even before I met him, and it would go into fibrillation, but then it would correct itself within a few hours.
Sure.
Then several years ago, 2008, he had a shoulder replacement surgery, which worked out very well, but as we were leaving the hospital, he went into AFib. And ever since then, he's had to take medication when he has a period of that. He has three magic pills that he takes. I'm sure you know what they are. But anyway, I was wondering, my question is, and now it happens about once a week, whereas before the surgery, it would happen maybe once a month or so, and it would correct itself. I was wondering if trauma to the body, like that surgery, which was, of course, very effective and
sure,
good, but if trauma to the body can then cause an increase in AFib.
All right. Interesting question. Thanks for that, Ann.
Well, couple of things. When specifically speaking about atrial fibrillation, when it starts at a young age, and what I mean by that is, say, under the age of 40, oftentimes we identify that there are genetic factors at play. There is a familial atrial fibrillation where it's multi-generational starting at a young age, and that would be, quote, the reason why. I presume, your partner had a very thorough evaluation looking for, all kinds of causes. When you go through life, unfortunately, our bodies change. They, our hearts change, our bodies change, and atrial fibrillation, by nature, is a progressive disorder. And we see all the time where people go from intermittent episodes, infrequent to more frequent to permanent atrial fibrillation. That transition occurs, and it's very difficult to stop that natural progression over a person's lifetime. I see all the time, I get called all the time for patients who have developed atrial fibrillation after surgery. In a stress, like having an operation, which is a stress to the body, that often precipitates fibrillation. Does it cause, you know, a change physically in the heart to make it be different going forward? No, I don't believe that that happens.
All right. Well, a lot to consider and a lot for those of us who are getting on in years to think about before taking up exercise programs. And good to check in with somebody like Dr. Brian Morrison from Southern Oregon Cardiology. The class again tonight is the Endurance Athlete's Heart, 6:30 p.m. at the Smullen Center in Medford. Do people have to sign up in advance, Dr. Morrison?
I believe they do. And I think on the Asante website is where you do that. I actually haven't looked at it myself, but that is the word, yeah.
Asante.org is the website to go to. Dr. Brian Morrison from Southern Oregon Cardiology, thank you so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Thanks for the opportunity, Jeff.
You bet.